and call to order a meeting of the Mesa City Council study session for Thursday, September 30th, 2010.
Do we have a meeting quota?
We've met it.
No, it's still executive session.
We're going to write an ordinance.
That's right. We have one more. We have e-session to go to, so.
Yeah, we're definitely violating.
One more, first item on the agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday's council meeting.
Which is pretty bad.
So, page 2. Page 3. Councilmember Higgins.
Two things on page 3. Item 4C. No, it's just a purchase for utility.
4C, that would be, oh, page 3. I'm sorry. I was on page 4. Go ahead.
Oh, it's on my page 3. Sorry.
No, it's on my page 3, too.
Okay.
It's early.
Okay, no
problem.
I had a
5:30 interview this morning. I'm not awake yet. Go ahead.
My question is, when do we anticipate being able to get e-bills? So that, you know, where we can get electronic billing so we don't have to spend $20,000 on envelopes or reduce it greatly for us.
Mr. Mayor, council member, we already have that available. So we can get you information on that. Maybe we need to do some additional publicity on it. But
so we
have the ability
today. So we can request an e-bill without it? And I did not know that.
Yes, we did.
See, we didn't know that. That's good. We should hear about that. Because we can encourage our e-people, because mail is, you know, we don't like mail anymore.
Correct. It's part of our strategy awesome. For the next year to be working. It's one of the items that's on our list.
So maybe we could have a little quickie on, little quick deal of how to do that and show our residents how to go online and sign up for their e-bill. I didn't even notice that when I paid my bill the other day.
Yes. It's available. It's been available for a couple years.
So you wouldn't get any...
You have a choice right now of mail and an e-bill or just an e-bill. And then on the payment side, you also have the ability to do SurePay, so you would eliminate the payment envelope as well.
Yeah, SurePay is really good.
Right. Okay. And tell people how to get that. Where do they go to request that?
www.mesaaz.gov, and right at the center of the screen, about halfway down, pay your utility bill, and it gives you the options on that screen.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. See, we learned something today. And I'm not sure if you need to be there for item 4D. Is that you too?
We have a presentation coming up later on the agenda. On that.
That's item 2A on the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll wait till then. Thank you.
Okay. That's okay. All righty. Anything else on page 2? Page 3? And page 4. Councilman Richens.
Just wanted to note on the agenda, item 5A, a new business coming into the entertainment district at Riverview. So they had a meeting with our Mesa Grande Community Alliance on Tuesday night, and it was well received. So it'll be across from Toby Keith and Mata's there in that little section. So something like a modified Dave and Buster's with lots of games and that kind of thing. So cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at a, what event were we at the other night? We were trying to remember the name of that. Someone's talking about Riverview Week. I could not remember the name of that. So
what is it? Say it again.
Cabo.
Oh, Cabo
Sports Dave. Grill.
Sports
so
Grill.
What? Cabo and sports. I'm not sure, but hey, I'm rolling with it.
You've never been to Cabo?
No.
There's a lot of sports in Cabo. I guess.
Right. Whatever.
I don't think I want to drive down there. Fly down there. Okay. Going on to more mundane things. Page 4, I think I said page 4 twice. Page 5. Any questions on 6B you want to talk about? Councilmember Higgins, you want to wait for that presentation?
I think we really chatted about it last on
okay.
Monday.
That's fine.
I beat the horse.
Okay, cool.
The rug.
All righty.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is item 2A. Hear a presentation to discuss the financial system replacement project, better known as City Edge. Mr. Charles.
I am not leading this one this morning.
So. Oh, you're just
I'll up, finish this one up. Thank
morning,
you.
I get the lead. I'm stealing Charles's spotlight for a moment.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Mayor Smith, Vice Mayor Jones, council members, we're here to present you or propose to you probably the single biggest business process change in the history of the city. And that may seem a little dramatic, But I think by the end of the presentation, when you see the scope and the impact that we're proposing here, I think you'll agree with that statement. This project's begun probably almost 18 months ago now. And almost a year ago, we met with the mayor. And then we also met with the Audit and Finance Committee. And we got their recommendation to move forward with this project. We're seeking approval to purchase a new consolidated business system for the city. The new system will replace multiple legacy mainframe financial and business systems with a complete, fully integrated financial human resource system. The slide before you will show the various systems that we're talking about replacing, but literally it's the entire financial system. It's the budget system. It's the human resource payroll system. It's the purchasing and the performance management system. The next two slides kind of detail the current processing impacts that the current system does, as well as what the future system will involve these transactions. Just briefly to go over them, accounting processes approximately 84,000 invoices annually. Budgeting posts over 400,000 expense transaction monthly for use in their activity-based budgeting and the performance management analysis and reporting. The cost and project accounting system right now tracks more than 2,000 projects and has over 15,000 unique work orders in order to keep track of all the project costs. The grant management, we manage more than 150 grants in the city. And right now, most of that process is done manually. There is some automation on collecting the costs, but there's a lot of manual process that's involved in tracking those grants. A procurement system manages over 47,000 vendor records. The human resources group administers approximately 600 personnel action changes monthly. And we issue over 100,000 payroll checks annually right now from this system that we're looking at replacing. So how is this processing currently managed? If you look at the slide, and this is a very simplified depiction of our current environment that we operate in. And to me, it looks very confusing, and it is. There are vertical information silos that you see. Most information in those information silos are very difficult to access. There's a lot of interfacing going on. These are a combination of both homegrown and purchased accounting and financial systems that have been heavily customized to meet our needs. This vertical information silo results in a lot of redundant information being done at the various departments in order to meet their business needs. They literally have to go in and get information out of there, put them into a spreadsheet or another database before they can do any analysis, because there's very little data query that you can get out of the current system. Myself, as well as many department staff, operate in this environment daily. And I guess if there's one word that I can best describe this, it's dysfunctional. The current mainframe accounting system is literally 30-plus years old. The earliest date I can see is about 1975, I think, is when this system was created.
Now, I just saw, we're clear, has there been any advances in computers in the last 30 years? Because I'm not clear on that.
I like to think there has, Mayor.
Oh, okay. I've heard about those, but I just really haven't experienced.
But in my environment, I don't see it.
Yeah. Most of us, when we're stuck in the 70s, it's just we listen to the music. But you're stuck technologically in the 70s.
Our information technology section and ourselves, we've worked very diligently to make some advances. There is some automation that currently exists. But it's really, I'll describe later, but I'll tell you now, we get information out of this system once a month, and it's about the second business week of the following month.
So do you have a lot of chewing gum and baling wire in your budget?
We have a lot of duct tape.
Duct tape, good. That's always good. So what we're doing is we're trading your duct tape and chewing gum budget for this budget, is what you're asking.
For
but he made a very important point for management perspective.
Yeah.
We can't get information about our financials until the earliest, almost 6 weeks after it's happened.
Yes.
So for us to develop good put it, the accounting aside, eventually gets taken care of. Because it just takes time. There's a lag. But from a management standpoint, being able to track activities with expenditures, there's at least a six-week delay in our ability to perform good management with our financials.
And I will say this, coming from this environment in a previous lifetime, I think the staff's done a great job in, you know, working within that system. I don't want people to think that we're frozen.
What happens, Mayor, is...
But the efficiency, the work that's required, as we're talking about, you know, with transcribing and all that kind of stuff.
So the good managers don't use the system. They create their own shadow systems.
Yeah.
And so now we have redundant systems across the organization. So this is something we've recognized and identified as an issue. Certainly, I can tell you, within a few weeks of coming on the job in Mesa, it was from coming from another environment and coming to this environment and having the need for access for information, it becomes a very open issue very quickly for any manager. So the good news is the staff has tried to do everything it can to develop almost like their own books, if you would, to try to track things. But it becomes very inefficient because you create a lot of manual systems, a lot of redundant systems to get there. So we've been planning and knowing that we've needed to make this change, but recognizing this is a huge shift for the city. Even though we know we need to do it, it is a major, this is the city's infrastructure as an organization. We talk about water and sewer, you know, roads for the city, but this is our life. This is the veins of the city that runs through it. It keeps us going. So go ahead, Doug.
Well, I can tell you, you know, the company that I ran, we went through two complete system upgrades and changes in 9 years. That's how fast the technology was changing. And both of those times, although it was a pain in the neck and it cost, the ability to access information on a real-time basis more than paid for the cost that we incurred. And that was twice in 9 years. When I left, the new company was going through a third one on a corporate-wide basis. So for us to be looking at this for the first time in literally three decades, I applaud you for bringing it forward. It's time. Go ahead.
We've recently been meeting with all the departments to explain to them what we're proposing to do, as well as finding out what their needs are. And those meetings have really solidified and confirmed the size and scope of the duplication of effort that's going on throughout the city. Pretty much every department we've met with has some type of financial, payroll, timekeeping, budgeting, and HR side system in order to meet their operational needs, their business requirements, and really to serve the citizens. The technology and the processes that we're currently utilizing, most of them are what we call Mesa grown. They're homemade. And the business processes themselves are not necessarily the industry's best practices. We intend to make Mesa's new system follow best practices for the industry. The new system will also result in increased transparency of the city's business operations and finances.
Doug, and I think the other day we were meeting, I think Valerie or you made the point is, in some ways, that's kind of quaint to have your own kind of homegrown, you know, systems. But where it becomes very challenging for us is when we're needing to fill positions in these right. technical areas. We can't necessarily just go out and get somebody who knows our system. They have to be brought in. There's a huge learning curve. And really, we understand is we need to get back to where the industry is and their best practices. And to the point where when we then go out and recruit for accountants or payroll or whatever, then we'll be on a platform that is used much broader across the country. We can also benchmark our processes and improve our processes with best practices across the country. And we believe that will create a huge amount of efficiency for the city going forward.
You can only imagine what it's like coming into a job that's been run by a spreadsheet and spending your first 2 weeks trying to link all the formulas that go from multiple. I've been there, and that's absolutely miserable.
Right. And it doesn't take much for one of those formulas to get you off track.
Yeah.
The next slide kind of shows what the new environment will look like. And the thing I want to emphasize on this slide is there's a single common database that all these systems feed off of. So when someone's out there looking at data, everybody's looking at the same data, and that's really a really overall driving goal here for this new system. As I said, there's a one source of data for all the management decisions. The new system will have near real-time data access, so some of the processes will be available literally maybe overnight, depending on how we define the processes, but full costed financial information will be available now on a biweekly basis that's in conjunction with the running of the payroll process. So where before we talked about how if you have a transaction that occurs on October 1st, you actually won't see that transaction currently going through our reports until almost the seventh business day of November. Now you're going to see some of that the next day, and then we'll have full information on the biweekly basis with the payroll. Okay. Users will have access to the city data at their desktop at the detail that they need to operate their business. The data will be available on reports and or queries that the person sitting at their desktop can literally drill down into the detail. They could actually sit at their desktop and drill down and see a electronic version of the invoice that we may pay for that particular expense. And as Chris alluded to earlier, we're going to be able to access the current technology market for both staffing and technology advances. So the current mainframe right now, the general ledger, which is the backbone of our financial system, there's about three or four individuals in the city that are maintaining this system. And that's not a shortcoming in staffing, I think, as Chris alluded to, is that the programming language we currently use, the people that know it are retired. So when we have a turnover, we can't go out there and find someone on the market that understands this programming. And now I'm going to turn it over to Valerie McBrien. She's the project manager and has been since we started this project. She's going to go over and explain the evaluation project and the selection process we use. It was a pretty extensive process, and I think you'll see when she details it that we've been pretty thorough on this.
Good morning. As Doug indicated, this project has actually been active for about 18 months now. And during this time period, what we have been working through is an iterative process to bring us to the point of today, which is a recommendation for the solution. And essentially, the project started with a citywide review of requirements by department, as well as across functional departments or functional processes. That resulted in us generating over 5,000 requirements for inclusion in the original request for proposal that went out when we were soliciting this replacement system. With that process, we did receive 8 responses back, and through the overall selection and evaluation process that we will detail for you this morning, we ultimately came to the conclusion that what the city needed more than anything is this consolidated, single-source type system that would ensure that regardless of where you're at in the organization, you had access to the same set of information at the level appropriate for your role and responsibility in a timely fashion. As we move on to the actual evaluation process for the request for proposal, we did receive 8 responses to the request for proposal. Our responses included all of the major players in this marketplace for government. That included names like Oracle, SAP, Lawson, CGI, and Tyler Technologies. The proposals were reviewed and scored, with the top 4 vendors being asked to provide a comprehensive demonstration of their proposed solution for further evaluation by the city. Each of these vendors delivered a 4-day live demonstration to the city. We ran 3 concurrent tracks, so effectively they presented 12 days worth of demonstrations to the city. There were 30 unique sessions held, and over 125 employees, staff members across the city participated in each of these demonstrations. With these demonstrations, the staff that participated were submitting evaluation forms so that the core project team members were receiving the perspective of the end users who are going to be using this system so that they understood, how does this vendor stack up? How does this system work for our department? How do we make sure that we're choosing something that is the most appropriate product for the city as a whole? The demonstration sessions were presented based off of specific functionality, including the topics that we've been discussing around budgeting, performance management, timekeeping, the general ledger, cost accounting, just to name a few. The demonstration sessions were scripted demos. Each of the vendors were provided scripts that had been prepared by the city so that they could demonstrate how their proposed solution could meet the requirements of the city. These demonstration scripts were prepared by staff in the functional areas, as well as with support from staff across the city that have a strong use of that particular topical area or function. So in the case of the budgeting module, it was driven by the budget office with support from some of our key departments that have different requirements around budgets, so that we made sure we were addressing the variances of someone with an enterprise fund versus someone with a general fund versus someone who's more revenue driven. So throughout each step of the process, we've been sure to make sure that we were looking at what is in the best interest of the city as a whole and not just the individual functional areas. With each round of evaluation, CGI received the highest score, and we have successfully completed a comprehensive statement of work and contract, resulting in today's recommendation.
Further, I think Councilmember Higgins has a question.
Thank you, Mayor. In this process, you selected this one, but did the other four vendors give you a cost also?
Yes.
Okay. So is that I didn't see that anywhere.
The individual costs for the other vendors are not part of this presentation. Detail available. One of the processes that we had to go through with the initial round of evaluation was we had to go through a process of normalizing the cost proposals that were presented to us. With the proposals, the original request for proposal was about 300 pages. And most of our responses were about 1,000 pages. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that we had some variation in how the vendors responded. Part of this process is the city has had the assistance of Plant and Moran, which is a government technology process consulting organization, and they have specific expertise in the selection of these types of systems. And part of what they were able to bring to our process was the ability to analyze all of the individual cost proposals and assure that we brought those proposals to an apples-to-apples comparison. Because, again, one of the challenges is each vendor interpreted our requirements differently. And in doing that, we saw tangible variances in their responses. As an example, in the hardware proposed for the solutions, we had a low of about $30,000 proposed and a high of almost $500,000 proposed for the hardware that would be needed for us to bring this solution in. That's a significant number, and we needed to make sure that in evaluating all of the proposals, we were doing so in a true apples-to-apples comparison. And that normalized analysis that was performed by Plant Moran allowed us to examine those numbers in a fair and more balanced perspective.
So am I understanding we're buying Apple computers in a fair and balanced way from Fox News? Is that what I got out of that explanation?
No, just apples-to-apples
computers. Oh, okay. We're back on Apple computer. I don't understand.
So, because my question is, I'm thinking kids, just stick them down in a row of computers and have them play with stuff, and they just might like the Mac. That's three times more expensive, even though the Mac and the PC do the same thing. So I just...
Whoa.
Well,
now you're not talking apples to apples.
Depending on what we're doing. Actually, we're using a word processor.
As part of the evaluation, for a significant part of the process of evaluating, the evaluators did not know cost. The cost was only known to the core team because we did not want folks evaluating based off of a preconceived perception of the cost of the product. And so throughout the demonstration process, when we had that citywide viewpoint and participation, they did not have knowledge of what the individual cost proposals were.
But you see what I'm saying, though. I mean, if you sit down in front of, give me an example of some, like you say, the Mac, the G4 or whatever with every bell and whistle there is, yeah, it's going to be better, right? It's going to be great. So,
well, it depends.
We've got another presenter.
Well, it depends.
No, you know what I mean?
Break the tie, I think. And
no, but once again, it depends on what you're using it for. Because, for example, if I'm doing heavy-duty graphics and I'm doing movie production, it's impossible to get an apples-to-apples.
Stick me in a Lexus or in a Scion and say, which do you like better? Well, I like the $110,000 Lexus. Well, I don't know what it costs, but I like this car much better. So, obviously, I don't know. You know, I'm just trying because we don't have numbers.
Yeah, because really what it came down to, since they didn't know price,
right,
this came out near the bottom of the pricing.
Great.
And
yes,
the highest rated on functionality.
Yeah. See, great. That's,
and that price was, price was part of the evaluation, as Chuck has mentioned. It was not the highest, but it was, as said, near the bottom.
Yeah, and if we had that information,
cost,
you know, that's great. So
we're not buying the Lexus.
No.
Oh, no.
We're buying the one that everyone likes and works best.
Well, I'm going to say something that's not going to sound right, so I ought to just shut up. But if a Lexus is what we needed to get the job done, mm-hmm, I hope that's what we bought. Because, you know, price obviously is always a consideration. Cost is the main consideration.
Well, I think Valerie...
And lowest price doesn't always mean lowest cost. I've made that mistake many times. And I appreciate the approach you took, which was, let's fill the need. Let's see what we have that's the best fit, and then let's go and see how it's priced. In this case, from what I'm hearing, you actually end up getting a double benefit because it just so happened that the one that fit the need also fit in with our price criteria.
And we can provide you all those numbers, and besides the actual sale price or the check we're going to have.
I'm going to paraphrase Councilman Summers here. Can you provide those today, or we have to get them out of our computer system, which might take
it may take 6 weeks, I think. Yeah, so we can give those to you after the meeting. But additionally, we also looked at the operating cost and how well would cost support this long term, and when you add the maintenance to the Lexus, it really creates a bigger gap compared to the solution we're bringing today.
Okay. Councilmember Fenter,
just a quick question. Our consultant then is Plant Moran.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked for us,
yes,
very independent of all the bidders, and there's a process in place that we know that independence is there. And
for me, being so sensitive to pricing, the process they went through on normalization of pricing, that was invaluable to me. It was well worth the money we spent on Plant Moran for that function alone. They've been invaluable through the rest of the process because that was the economy of this, to knowing what we were buying was the best economic value. Their expertise was needed. So, while this wasn't the very cheapest, it was near the bottom, but had one of the highest functionality ratings.
So its cost is the lowest.
Yes.
Once again, price versus cost.
Correct.
Its cost.
Oh, the overall.
Because the functionality, the reliability, the ability to deliver is much greater than the other one that was priced lower.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also,
are they available for other kinds of bids that we're dealing with? Because you know,
very valuable.
I would love to have somebody be able to normalize things like towing, something like that.
Scott Eiler from Plant Moran is in the audience.
So. Okay.
Can I just add another comment on that? I looked at this whole thing from the end users, how they're going to look at and use this system. And yeah, we didn't get the Lexus necessarily, but I think the ones we've got is going to be one of the most user-friendly systems also.
Well, and that's the most important. And like I said, you know, we shouldn't shy away just because, you know, my mom always taught me never buy a cheap pair of shoes because long term you pay for it many times over. You don't automatically go in to the high price shoes, but you remember that the quality absolutely over the long term will give you the best benefit. And I hope we don't use that as an excuse to go over, but you know, in government you're always low bid, and sometimes that doesn't serve you the best. We need to go with functionality. It looks like the approach you took was very, very much on line with what will produce the best value and the most effective system over time. Councilmember Summers.
Well, if we're going to tie in that automobile analogy between the Lexus and the Toyota, we also don't want to buy a four-door car when what we really need is an SUV because we have a large family. So what we really need is the best value in class for the platform that we need. And as long as it handles all of these issues, because we're asking this system to, basically to do everything. I mean, it's a pretty big family that you're trying to tow around, and I don't want to be buying that sports car when when we really need a family truckster.
And I think the rest of Valerie's presentation is going to reconfirm some of that because of the best practices and the lack of, or the reduced number of customizations that were required because of the functionality of this.
And since we have the auto analogy, does this system come with XM radio? We can throw that in. Okay.
Let's finish the presentation.
Councilmember.
I thought we were done.
Go ahead.
And actually, Councilman Summers, to follow up on your comment and, you know, one last kind of auto analogy, the one vendor that was lower in cost that was not the selected vendor, it was exactly what you described. While they had the basic requirements, we knew that when we needed the third row seat, they weren't going to be able to provide it.
Right, and that's...
So, again, our recommendation is for CGI Technologies and Solutions. They do bring us that fully integrated system that provides us with the ability to have that single source data that we're looking for. This is a solution that is built exclusively for government. Some of the other respondents, while they had government products, they were originally a commercial product that had been modified to meet the needs of government. And what that translated to for us was that we were going to be looking at the need for additional customizations. By choosing a vendor that had been built from the ground up for government, we were able to minimize the required customizations, and ultimately that means a lower cost of ownership to the city over time. With each round of evaluation, we have seen great consistency in CGI. Again, we have been engaged in this process for over a year and a half now, and because we've been working with staff across the city who this is their first time working on a project of this size and scope and with some of the structure, we've had to make sure that we minimize the amount of jargon that we use in our conversations and explanation of our processes. So we've had our own kind of example going, and that was we first started out saying, first we want to figure out who we'd like to date, and then we want to know who we want to bring home to meet mom and dad. And ultimately, we want to figure out who we'd like to marry.
And what car did you use while you were doing all this stuff? Because, you know, I hope you didn't use the SUV because that might turn somebody off.
We were basically drawing parallels to a relationship. And I think that one of the most important takeaways is that as we reach this point of making this recommendation, we still want to marry CGI. They have been a very good partner. They have shown great professionalism and wonderful flexibility and true creativity as they've sat with us in hours and hours of sessions and looked at our business processes. We've seen them really think on behalf of the city and demonstrate bringing their professional knowledge, their functional knowledge, their knowledge of their solution to bear for us in the city and looking at how this solution can meet our needs and grow with us as an organization. This is just a quick example of some of CGI's customers. You'll notice that on this list is New York City. They were CGI's original government customer. They have been their customer for over 30 years. And the reason we point that out is because it demonstrates that over time, CGI has been able to maintain, grow, modify, and adjust its product to meet the diverse changing needs of a very large customer. On this list as well, there's a good number of folks within the state who are also current CGI customers, and you will find that they have some pretty good longevity. As we looked at their references and the names provided to us, on average it was about a 14-15 year relationship that most of their customers had with them at this point in time. And again, to us, that said ability to grow, ability to be flexible, ability to change. The project scope, when we look at the overall project, we will have four significant concurrent phases. The implementation is going to be a 34-month implementation, and we expect that this investment will likely serve the city for the next 15 years, if not more. This project will continue to involve hundreds of staff members across the city. It's going to be, again, as Doug said, the single largest business process change that the city has taken on. And we know that we have a great team in place. We've demonstrated that throughout this process. We've had great support across the city, and I think folks are really
committed to making this change. There's a lot of excitement about the idea of being able to get numbers the next day and not waiting until 7 weeks after they've been generated. The timelines for the project, we are looking at commencing January of 2011. The performance budgeting and performance management modules will be the first phase. They'll go live in November of 2011. That means that the fiscal 12-13 budget will be developed in this new solution. The financials, which will include all the core financials, including items like procurement and the project grant and cost accounting module, as well as a complete timekeeping replacement for the city, will go live in July 2012. This means when our new financial system goes live, we'll also have our new budget module up and functioning with that. So at one time, we'll commence a fiscal year with the new solution in place. This was a very specific decision on behalf of the project, as it allows us to economize on some of the data conversion requirements, and that is going to be cost savings and time savings to the city. The last significant module is the human resources and payroll module. And funny thing with that one, they do like, the federal government likes us to start those things on January 1, so we will go live January 1, 2013. We'll have a small fourth module that will come up at the end of this effort, and that will be around the learning management and the open enrollment. That's going to bring the final enhancement that we've not talked about, and that is some self-service tools. Today, we have very limited self-service tools available to our employees and vendors. With the solution, we'll be bringing employee self-service as well as vendor self-service to the city. Doug had mentioned that our departments and even Mr. Brady indicated that our departments have been very creative in their ability to manage the data that we have today to run their operations. This is being done through multiple side systems. And again, we know that they're eager to have this replacement. A couple of the products that are coming that we think are significant are grant lifecycle management tools. Again, we manage over 150 grants representing millions of dollars to the city. These are mostly done through manual processes, paper processes. With this new tool, we'll have the ability to track them from the time we identify a grant through the time it's awarded and paid and managed throughout the city. Again, the self-service tools. With timekeeping, we'll have new options for how staff will be able to submit their time, as well as some of the transparency features that the city is looking for. There is no doubt that this will be a monumental effort, and as far as the investment in assuring success, we have some very specific project success factors that we know are important. We know that there's inherent risk in this effort, and we believe that the commitment of providing the needed resources, the change management, and the training so essential to success of a project like this will be key to the overall successful implementation of CityEdge. With staffing, we've been looking at the lessons learned of other organizations who have made changes like this. We've been researching what other organizations have done, and we've pretty much assured ourselves that through the right level of staffing, we can be successful with this. The single most common piece of feedback that we received in interviewing other organizations when we said, what would you do different, was around resources. Make sure you have the right people for the right product parts of the project with the right expertise in place through the duration of the project. That's been our number one piece of feedback from constituents who have done similar projects.
Does that, have you included potential staff changes or increases in your projections on the cost?
Yes, we have.
This, okay.
Yes. We'll talk about that.
Yep. All right. Is that Alex yet? Okay.
Without having really begun the detailed analysis that will be part of this project effort, we have already identified the equivalent of 5 man-years worth of data conversion effort that will need to take place as part of the initial project for getting this up and running. We have over 150 interfaces identified already. With this, again, one of our goals throughout this has been to choose a solution that allows us to limit customizations. And at this point in time, we have 2 customizations identified for the solution. Our current HR system alone has over 100 customizations tied to it. So again, by moving to a solution that is built for government, it brings with it many best practices that the city needs, and we're able to accomplish one of our significant goals. One of the last items that we'd like to speak to is the idea of managing change. We have individuals that have worked for the city for many years using this solution that's been with the city for many years, and it's their tribal knowledge that keeps this system up and running. We are going to be asking them to change significantly what they do and how they do it. And so a major component of this project is organizational readiness, change management, and training. We are going to be having three training rooms as part of this project to run concurrent training in order to meet the training needs of this project.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my experience has been that the computer, the data, the technological side is the easy part.
That is
the organizational part is the hard task.
The focus of the training, while we have to assure that people can use the tool, more importantly, we need to assure that they can do their job with the tool.
Right.
And yeah. Serve the citizens.
And that brings it to my part. They always like me to come out here with the funding part. I don't know why. But after we got to start preparing some of our information for financial information with Chris when he first got here, and he got through all the you do what and how do you do that moments, we started setting aside money in the general fund to start preparing for this project. At the time we started doing it, we didn't have a target on how much this was going to cost us. We knew it was going to be a fairly large price tag, but we started setting aside resources. The other issue, 2 years ago, they made an accounting change. They allow us to now, or they require us, not allow us, they require us to capitalize infrastructure related to software and financial systems. That made this project eligible for impact fees because of the increase in efficiency and the service capacities. So we have now created that, and that was a huge portion of this. So we'll discuss that a little bit more. But the general governmental impact fees are now eligible for this project. So we're going to use those, fully utilize those against this project. Also, if we were going to continue to maintain and feed this older system, in 3 years, they've identified, ITD has identified, about $5.3 million in cost. Those will be redirected. This will be a buy, don't buy situation. It will redirect those costs to help offset some of these
costs. Over the next three years, that's
correct.
How much we would have had to spend anyway to maintain the current system. So we're including that as a benefit by getting a new system. We won't have to spend that $5 million, but it can go towards the offset of the cost.
And it didn't get us anything new. It just allowed us to maintain what we're required and mandated by law. So it just didn't buy us anything. $5.3 million in a 30-plus-year-old system. It's been here longer
than sort of like when you have a car. And go ahead.
Yes. That car analogy, yes. And then the remaining costs of the funding, and we're going to go through the cost breakdown, we're going to split through the other major operating funds, enterprise, street sales tax, and the environmental compliance fund. So what we have available today is I estimate over the 3 years we're going to have $8 million in general governmental impact fees available. We currently have in the reserve general fund savings of $8 million. That leaves about $8.6 million to be split over 3 years between all the remaining. So less than $3 million a year over the remaining funds.
Chuck, when you say general fund savings, that's the amount that has been saved up in previous years.
Set aside is probably better.
Reserve. Okay. And that's a better term. Yes.
Because the ongoing are what are the next,
yes.
Interesting, the 8.6
right.
million?
So those are the ones that we had not specifically set anything aside for.
So we have $16 million available.
Correct.
Right now.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Cash available now either through the set-aside that we started 4 years
or
ago.
The impact fees.
Or the impact fees. We have the $16 million. That's where the $16 million.
Now, the impact fees is amount in the bank and projected over 3 years?
Yeah, we actually, in that category, have
$7.2 million in impact fees currently.
Okay.
So 7.2?
We believe
okay.
that the balance of that will be collected between now, and,
now
the
and
3 years.
Okay.
You can see I've not been overly
aggressive. But if it's not, it's not a huge, huge number that we would fall short from.
No.
I mean,
you got 90% already saved up.
Right.
Okay.
So that's how we're proposing to fund it. Now to get to full cost. Today, for Monday, there's an approval for $17.7 million in cost. CGI contract, some contingency related to the CGI contract, and some hardware and software needs. That totals 17.7. So in the future, $6.9 million will come through either service contracts in cost or other hardware and data conversion cost and so forth. They'll come to you in future times. Those have not yet been specifically identified, and they'll come to you in the appropriate time.
So let's just go back with that real quickly, because that's kind of a different concept. So what the council will approve, or what we're asking council to approve on Monday, of this on page 21, is that the first two items there, Chuck?
It is made up of, and I'm going to let Valerie specifically speak to it, because there is some cost breakdown. But obviously, if you go to the CGI solution, that 14.8 is included there. And the contingency based on award, the third line from the bottom, is included in there. And then I'll let her speak to the other items.
Actually, within each category, under hardware, software, and storage, we have $429,000 that is part of the council report for Monday, as well as in the other one-time costs. Based off of the award, we have $139,000 as well that is part of that 17.7.
Okay, so what's not included in the 17 that we'll need to either come back, we'll need to come back to council at a future date for?
So what's not included that would come back to council is specifically within the hardware, software, and storage. We have $280,000 budgeted that will be included in a future presentation around a new storage system for the city. So
storage of the... go ahead.
So that's for storage of data. The city will be replacing, looking at a change in its overall storage platform that will be for the entire city, and a major piece of that proposal is in order for us to have the storage sufficient for this solution. One of the things that this brings to us with, again, new technology is we will now be able to have electronic document handling attached to our records. So, for example, as Doug said, you will be able to drill down and physically see an image of the invoice that was presented for payment that is associated with a line item of an expense in your budget. In order to have that functionality, we need somewhere to store that image. That image is data, and therefore we need
paperless,
increased storage.
You're going to a paperless system is basically what you're doing.
And I kind of take those remaining costs, and I broke them into two categories. One, and we talked about a little earlier, we got about $2.5 million in staff backfill. There is a need because of we're going to be asking some staff be pulled totally out of their current environment. We're going to have to provide some staff backfill in operations until this project is done. Then we also have other
so Chuck, external. Is that in the form of temporary assistance? Or is it overtime, or what are you?
It is going to be a combination of all the above. We're doing our best to bring back, because this is our system is so unique. I feel like I'm using a lost art. That was the COBOL was the language this system was written in. That was what I was taught in college. We can't find people any longer.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Yes, it is, sir. So what we have to do is we're going to use retirees as much as possible and bring some of them back on a temp basis. So we've looked at all the options of what we can do on staffing to meet the needs in that area. Some of the areas, we're just going to do double duty. It just is about a two-year learning curve to bring them up into some of the usage areas. We're just going to do double duty. So we're going to do our best to do that. So there's going to be operational savings created through those offsets on usage of staff.
Councilman Fender has a question.
So just quickly back to storage. I know we work with the state of Arizona to store a lot of our information, or at least that's. Is this going to duplicate that, or are we going to bring all that back to us? Or
no, the storage is really around the overall data infrastructure, and because we need to specifically have a portion carved out that can be directly attached to this to the records that are going to be in the solution. When this storage proposal comes forward, this is going to represent the portion that will be used by this City Edge solution. So again, everything from things like a personnel action form, an application for someone applying for a job, think of data that would be associated with any of these functions. We want them attached to the record, and therefore we need to make sure we have storage.
Well, for example, if you have a line item that shows a certain expenditure that's driven by a purchase order or something like that, right now you'd have to get up, go to the filing cabinet, find that piece of paper, pull it out, and and look at it then and then go put it back, make a copy, whatever. What you're saying is you'd click on it and that purchase order would automatically come up on your screen.
Yes.
So it would save you the time of having to go search for the paper thing. And that's the efficiency that you hope you gain. It's not that it's a nice thing to have neater. There are real efficiencies gained by being able to access things that are stored as opposed to, because they're stored either way. They're either stored as a paper in a filing cabinet in a room, or they're stored electronically. And that especially becomes important when you have old things that are now moved on to maybe a storage vault or something like that, that will keep being saved electronically for much longer than we could keep paper on site. Well, is that the idea?
It is.
Yeah.
But I would say overall from the whole system, it's we're going to move staffing from a, I won't say paper pushing, but that's really what it becomes, is you're pushing stuff through the system to staffing where we're gaining knowledge from the analysis of what we're doing and not spending the time just processing.
Well, and most of the paper that will be attached were created electronically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like you have somebody sitting there scanning in, like even the application, all that is, and the PO is created electronically. So it's stored there, but you didn't have to push paper to get there. Okay. Right.
But to the council members' question, we are still looking at working with cooperatives and some of the backup storage elements. This is
everything.
We're still looking at doing. We continue to do that.
Okay. So, with that, I'll turn it back over to Doug.
Okay. Well, we're ready. As you can tell, we've had a pretty thorough, extensive selection process to get us to this point. We have reached out to staff at all levels to communicate the scope and the impact of this City Edge project to them. We've had strong executive level support throughout this project as they recognize both the need and the value in replacing the current financial HR system. So with that, if you see the wristband in front of you, our go live date is July 1st, 2012, and we need your approval to start this process. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions? Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you
for the work and thanks for the presentation. Look forward to it. Okay. Here reports on meetings and conferences attended. Any reports?
Yesterday.
We had a little thing yesterday. Councilmember Summers, why don't you take that?
There's just a lot going on. Southeast Mesa has opened a new fire station, Station 215, located on the airport. This new station also includes a police facility, and it replaces an old fire station built about 1960 for the Air Force when that was an Air Force base. The facilities. Too small, too old, doesn't fit most of the new larger apparatus coming out. And even more importantly, it's standing in the way of progress. We're looking to expand, once again, the terminal so that we can accommodate more flights out of Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. So that has to be bulldozed in order to meet those new projections. So new fire station for the area. By the way, I have proof that every police officer wants to be a firefighter. I have a photograph of Chief Milstead sliding down the fire pole.
Oh, my goodness.
It is on my Facebook page. Oh. So, and I will be using that to my full advantage.
Oh.
So, serves him right for not looking out for where the cameras were. This past week, I donated an AED, automatic external defibrillator, through the Cardiac Arrest Association, Sudden Cardiac Arrest Association, who raises money to purchase AEDs and do CPR. Alex knows about that, and save lives. They will be donating it to Amazing Jake's. I did not realize it, but more than 8,000 people run through that place a week for corporate and family entertainment. They've not had an event there, but all their employees are CPR trained. They're going to train them again, recertify them, and put the AED there. They were very excited to receive it.
Good. Okay. Anything else? Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, if there's any businesses out there, local businesses that are looking to do business with the City of Mesa, we have our Doing Business with Mesa Fair today from 2 to 4 at the Mesa Arts Center. This evening from 6 to, beginning at 6 p.m., the mayor has his conversation with the community at the Dobson Ranch La Casita Community Center. And tomorrow morning, District 6, pancake breakfast at Station 212.
Tomorrow morning or?
What did I say?
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. Saturday morning, Station 212, which is at 2430 South Ellsworth, which is between Baseline and Guadalupe. We also have a household hazardous waste collection event in East Mesa this Saturday also at the Decatur location.
It's a catered event? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's a catered event. Thank you.
Decatur is going to be there too. Think about it a while. It'll soak in, okay?
You need to go back to bed.
Yeah, I do. Also want to remind people that all citizens, October 23rd, financial planning at the Mesa Convention Center. The reason I bring it up now is not only to put it on your calendar, but also you can go online, mesaaz.gov, and submit questions and topics, and that'll give the financial planners a chance to prepare for that and address your specific topics. Okay, anything else? All righty, we have a pre-scheduled public opinion appearance, Mr. John Retzker. Mr. Retzker, welcome back. The conditions are the same. You have 3 minutes, sir, and please.
Yeah, I would appreciate if, without that 3 minutes, if I could address Council Member Gina Higgins without going into that 3 minutes. The other day, I admonished her for chewing, and if she has such an oral fixation, I purchased Tic Tacs for her so that she could use those.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and sit down? You're a little bit off the thing, Mr. Retzker. That's not totally appropriate, so go ahead.
Well, I'd like to present these.
Go ahead and leave them on the table, and we'll make sure she gets them, sir.
And I did get the pink ones for breast awareness. So, yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I think that's more appropriate. Also, I have spoken with the Mesa Police Department and the courts, and there are no records of me going on trial. Apparently, there is a digital recording of the interview with Detective Arbana, which I've requested, and I assume that that will be non-existent, even though it's supposed to be in the property evidence room. I would also like to anybody who had Martha Ashburn as a public defender to call the Bar Association and report her if they feel that they were not defended properly. I've spoken with some people from the the U.S. Attorney's Office, and now everybody's concerned about my health, and this is what they said they would do, and kind of whitewash what the police report said. They've already said and admitted that there's errors in that report, and it's just going to go on and on and on. And I have medical problems, and I just can't go on with the cover-ups involved in the Mesa Police Department. It is just abominable what they're doing. I mean, it took them 4 or 5 days to admit that there are inaccuracies in that report, but yet I'm the one who has to suffer. And like everything else in the Pace Department, I believe it's just going to be a cover-up and a whitewash. They have 6 or 7 months to investigate, and personally, I don't know if I can survive that long. I don't sleep. All I do is read this report from morning till night. I bury my head in a pillow, and I have been an outstanding citizen, okay? I made a mistake. Maybe I shouldn't have called the officer or those expedited leaders. But I was man enough to admit that I was just getting steam off. But yet, the Mesa Police Department will not admit that they've made mistakes and take responsibility for it. And I find that appalling. I had a nice discussion with the assistant city attorney yesterday, but then again, you know, oh, don't worry about it, worry about your health. Well, the thing that's causing my ill health is the fact that they have ruined my reputation. The district attorney has prosecutorial misconduct, and I've talked with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and from my understanding, they said that the charges that I will be filing, and I'm waiting for the papers, are covered under the RICO statutes, which are treble damages.
Okay, Mr. Metzger, it sounds like you, I feel for your challenges. You know, it's never easy when you have problems and things like this. I'm glad you've had a chance to meet with some city staff, especially in the assistant prosecutor. I hope, and I'm confident, because I've worked with them a long time, that they'll do everything they can in their power to make that right.
Patricia Kennedy never even checked the validity of the report.
Well, now that you've had an opportunity to address this issue and meet with the staff, I would suggest you continue those efforts. I have every confidence that our staff will work toward a solution that'll help you out.
You don't have to live with that, okay?
Well, that's what I say. Hopefully, they'll work for something that'll work it out.
I can't live with that, okay? I've tried to commit suicide twice over this already.
We'll do the very best. I'm sure our staff will do the very best they can to help resolve what obviously is a painful and bad situation for you. Well, they'll do their best, okay? Thank you very much. We really appreciate you coming forward. They're way past. I gave you more than twice the amount of time to stay here to talk. So thank you very much for being here. Okay, we have a motion to go into e-session from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Fenter. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Metzger, and good luck.
Thank you.